This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
One of the unique strategies I implemented a few years ago fit with my 10 commandments of successful investing, especially number 8, thou shalt borrow to accelerate wealth and reduce risk, and number 10, thou shalt only invest in tax-favored assets. So my money grows tax-free, and I can leverage down payments. My friend Pat Donahoe's team at Paradigm Life got me started, and I have a few accounts with them now. Check out this perpetual wealth strategy at beyourbank.com. Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 925. This is your host, Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me today for another episode. We have a few things on tap for you today. We are going to talk a little bit about the five-year plan, because you don't have much time to enter that contest, but we have a client case study here with us who will touch on his five-year plan. He's been on the show before. We will talk a little bit about the GOP tax plan. We will talk about interest rates. Where are interest rates going? Very impactful for real estate and the three dimensions of real estate, as I like to call it. And we'll probably talk a little bit about the dollar and what it means to people around the world. So welcome back, a returning guest, Naresh. How you doing?
Doing awesome, Jason. Pleasure to be back on, and this time as a client.
Yes.
I don't think I was a client last time I was on.
I think you were a client last time, but I don't know. I could be wrong about that. You've got now two investment properties in your portfolio, and you are engaged to be married, so congratulations. Naresh, how old are you, about 27 now?
No, I'm turning 29 at Meet the Masters coming up in January.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it cool that you are spending your birthday with us and with Ron Paul, actually? So that'll be pretty cool. That'll be a good birthday present for you. We appreciate you coming out on your big day. So good stuff. Well, talk a little bit about your plan now. You know, you're renting an apartment. Last time I checked, at least. I don't know if you changed your housing situation. You're renting and you're buying investment properties. Now, most people your age, especially engaged to be married, would be thinking, well, I got to buy a house. I got to buy a house with the proverbial white picket fence, or at least a little condo or something, you know, so the wifey and I can live in that. What are your thoughts?
Well, Jason, I've been listening to you for many, many years, your podcasts. I've read your materials. I live in Florida, and Florida, I know, is a pretty good market, relatively speaking, a housing market, and you do cover like Jacksonville, Orlando, Newport Richey, or Port Richey. But where I live in the heart of Tampa Bay, the properties just
don't satisfy. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You run the numbers, you crunch the numbers. I mean, it's actually kind of crazy. A friend of mine bought it's a waterfront penthouse, so it's going to be overpriced, but costs about $600,000, and the rent that he would get out of that would be less than $2,000 a month.
Bet you he could get $2,200 for that. I'm just guessing, but those ratios.
Well, even if it is
$2,200. Yeah, it still doesn't work. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Let's be conservative and say, or liberal and say $2,200.
Right.
It still doesn't work. Not that I want to move to a waterfront penthouse, but the properties, the places that you want to live in and start a family, those are right now overvalued. Now, that was not the case 5-6 years ago. Now, I didn't live here 5-6 years ago, and I didn't have any money 5-6 years ago. I was just out of college.
Duke University, right? You went to Duke?
Yeah. I was finishing up my master's degree, what, 6 years ago? Yeah, 6 years ago, or five or six years ago.
So Naresh, just to give a little background and a little context for you, you got your master's at Duke. Where did you do your undergrad?
Undergrad was at Syracuse University.
So Syracuse in upstate New York, and then Duke for master's. Good stuff. Good stuff. So what are you doing being our client and working for us? I mean, by the way, folks, Naresh has been on the show before, and just to, if you didn't listen to those old episodes, Naresh books guest for the podcast and does some other odd things for us. In fact, I was teasing you the other day, Naresh, talking to someone else about you and saying, Naresh, you know, because Andrew Zatlin, who you booked as one of our speakers at Meet the Masters, he dubbed you as the fixer. I love that. I just love that. When I had him on the show, he's, of course, the Moneyball economist. He'll be speaking at Meet the Masters. I said, yeah, Naresh is the fixer. And so I was telling someone else about you, and I says, yeah, you know, you need to, like, smuggle arms into North Korea, Naresh. You need to get Andrew Zatlin on your podcast, Naresh. You need to book him for Meet the Masters, Naresh. You just kind of do all these funny, odd things. But you worked for Agora Financial and Porter Stansberry before. A lot of our listeners know him and know them. We've had a lot of those Agora guests on the show over the years, but really got an interesting background. You're very well networked. You've authored several books now. Maybe we'll touch on one of them because it kind of is interesting for this conversation. But you don't want another day job, do you? I asked you that when I saw you recently. I said, hey, Naresh, do you ever want to get a corporate job again? And you said, no way.
Well, Jason, I don't know if you remember, but the first time we spoke, it was because I believe it was Brittany, who your listeners know, reached out to Stansberry, which is where I was working. I helped launch the Stansberry Radio Network, which is now back in action, and Porter Stansberry has his own podcast. I think I was the first person who had been trying for years to get in touch with Stansberry, and nobody responded. And I was the first person who actually responded with my email address and phone number, and you gave me a call. And when I was talking to you, this was 5 or 6 years ago, when I was talking to you on the phone, you told me about your company. And you said you used to have an office, it used to be a bit corporate, you had, you know, 30 some odd employees, but you cut all that and now everything's virtual and you're making a lot more money and you own all these real estate properties and you've traveled to 100 countries or however many it is.
81. Yeah, Naresh, you're just really loose with the statistics. So I had like 60, well, in my old company that I sold to Coldwell, I had like 64 people working for me, 64, I think, at the time of the sale. And that was a huge hassle babysitting job. I kind of hated it, but I love some things about it too. Then in, you know, the other iteration of this business, the nationwide real estate investment business, you know, I had many, many people working for me in offices and so forth. And, you know, it's just, I felt like I was being like a facilities manager too. It was like every day there's some new issue with a landlord or the office space, or, you know, the tenant above us has a pipe that burst and it's flooding our office. You know, it's like, these are all just distractions. You know, I just want to do my work. I'm so passionate about it. I love it. And so, yeah, we went virtual in 2012, and everybody likes it better. And I remember the app Foursquare. This is just a commentary, folks, on how times are a-changing. Who said that? Bob Dylan, I think. And we'll get back to Naresh's client case study here in just a second. Won't be a long tangent. But, you know, this is what I talk about, and this affects income property investing, and it affects the way your tenants think and the way prospective home buyers think. Because I have talked about this before, and it's purely an anecdotal observation, and I've dubbed it the portable society, okay? As we're all living in the sharing economy, technology has enabled everybody to geo-arbitrage, as Tim Ferriss called it. I had dinner with Tim Ferriss about 2 months ago in Austin. You know, people can live anywhere they want now. That it's not about the physical space anymore. It's about the intellectual property that's going on between your ears. Okay, that's what it's about. And it's about the power of the network that you have and those kind of resources. That's what we offer to our clients. You know, having a big office is sort of irrelevant. Like, who cares? Nobody really cares. And so this affects you as a real estate investor. Well, why? Now, this may sound minor, okay? But everything I said plus this one, So I have noticed that my own personal household, all of the stuff I have, you know, there's this whole movement about called the tiny house movement and this movement toward minimalism and so forth. And I've noticed that all of my stuff is just getting smaller and smaller and more portable. You know, in the old days, I mean, I used to be at least a bit of an audiophile, right? Love music, okay? And by the way, folks, I have excellent taste in music. Just so you know. You'll hear that at Meet the Masters. You know, all of my, like, electronics are so small. All of my computers are so small. They're so portable now. You know, this stuff used to be big. I used to have a big rack of Denon components and big speakers. And now I can just pick up and move so easily, you know, and I can live anywhere. The stuff that I really need, even though I have way more than I need, is really not that significant, you know, like you could fit it all in a pretty small space and it's easy to move around. So this is the portable society concept, and it intertwines with the sharing economy concept, with the Airbnbs and the VRBOs and the Uber and the Lyft and the all of these sharing economy concepts. Like, if you live in many cities now, you used to always own a bike. Now you don't even need to own a bike. There are all these sharing economy bike stands everywhere where you can rent bikes. You don't need to own a car. There's all these really unique modern sharing economy, or not even sharing economy, all of them, but just, you know, like rental car options now where you can walk up to cars you can find on your phone in virtually every neighborhood. This is very big in Austin. I can't remember the name of it, but they got those little smart cars. You know what I'm talking about. And you can just walk up to a car you don't even own, and your phone will open the door and start the car, and you can just rent it by the hour. And, you know, do your errands and you're done. Just park it anywhere. And someone else will just pick it up anywhere, wherever you leave it. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Well, so 5-6 years ago when we spoke, I didn't know about any of this. And Uber wasn't around back then, for example. Airbnb wasn't around. But you actually opened my eyes because you told me how you got rid of the office and you're virtual. And you also, I don't want to be liberal with the statistics again, but you said something like you were the CEO of 8 different businesses. And I was just like, what? I was trained my entire life to, you know, go to school, work for a company, get
right.
a job.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of blew me away. Like, whoa, you can live the dream in a penthouse. I think you were in Arizona at the time, living in a penthouse. And it just opened my eyes. And 5-6 years later, I don't want to say that I'm up to your level by any means, but I bought my first income property a few months ago and looking to buy many, many more over the next couple of years.
Yeah. And you've got your other one under contract now. That's awesome. Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about your 5-year plan. But folks, the message here is that some of us really get like this. We just have old ideas, okay? And the world is like changing all around us, and some of us don't even realize it. You know, I'll give you an example. I mean, I have many friends, and I notice this is right, and they're not much older than me, okay? But these are the younger baby boomers, okay? Thankfully, I'm a Gen Xer. Barely, okay? But I'm a Gen Xer, okay? And Naresh, you're a millennial. So these are the different demographic cohorts, but they have very old-fashioned thinking. Like, it's all about the big space and the status. Like, nobody much cares anymore about status, you know? There are all these people that I know that are still talking about this, like, these old paradigms. They're just don't apply. The world just does not care. One of them, and Naresh, hey, listen, you spent a lot of time and money on this, is the college degree paradigm, okay? You know, you went to prestigious school. You know, hey, look, you did it, it's done. But you probably wouldn't do it again today, I assume, right?
Well, I'll say when I have kids, it's going to be a completely different scenario. And you're absolutely right. I actually think that it depends on the personality, Jason. I think for people like you and me, college can be a complete waste of time. I mean, it's great for partying, it's great for, you know, other things, but when it comes to business, making money, the future, it doesn't really add a whole lot of value. And 30 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, when, you know, hopefully I have kids and they're getting ready to go to school, it's going to be a very, very different situation.
It's a very different world. The world is changing faster than it's ever changed. Geography is less meaningful than it's ever been in human history. And what this means for investors, one of the many things it means, is it means that rentals are becoming more and more and more attractive. And I want to talk about this, Naresh, in a moment after you finish your comment, because I'm really good at interrupting you. I apologize. But one of the things this also integrates with is the GOP tax plan. And I want to play a little video about that, just a sort of a funny video that I think the listeners will enjoy. But yeah, just finish up on your thought, and then let's jump into the GOP tax plan. And let's talk about interest rates a little bit too.
Okay. Well, I want to go back to the real estate thought really quickly, and then we'll get into the GOP topic. But I've been investing for nearly 10 years now. I started investing when I was in college, and it started with the stock market because that's just kind of the norm here in this country. It's, oh, you have money that you want to play around with, invest it in stocks. Yep. So I got started around the financial crisis time. And then I got introduced to newer asset or other asset classes like gold and silver, precious metals. And then through you, I got interested in real estate. And I can say, as of right now, I've only been a client for maybe 6 months, but I've been able to sleep much better at night with my real estate investment than I have been with the stock market, with cryptocurrencies, with even with just putting money. I've tried putting money in a CD or a savings account, and I've just seen better returns with real estate, and I haven't really lost any sleep, maybe an hour or two during the buying process. But outside of that, it's, you know, knock on wood, things have gone really, really well. And I think the problem in this country is in the education system, the finance professors in college, for example. They don't talk about real estate. I had no clue, and I'm a pretty qualified individual. I had never learned about real estate investing until I met you and started listening to your show. And it wasn't until about 3 years after I met you and started listening to your show that the light bulb went off, and I said, you know what? Let's stop paying so much attention to the stock market, and let's start looking at real estate. It's really a really awesome way to get cash flow and to preserve wealth. So
Wall Street,
I'm a fan
is,
now. You
yeah,
have me.
Yeah. Good. I had you with ROI, like the Jerry Maguire movie. You had me at hello. I had you with return on investment.
And you know, the money, let's say, $1,000 home, I could put that money in a CD and I'm getting, what, $100 a month?
$100,000 home, you meant to say, I think.
Sorry, $100,000 home. And if you put that money in a CD, let's say a 2% CD, that's what, $200 a month. You can put that in the stock market and you have no idea what you're going to be getting moving forward because the stock market could crash. Or if you put it in an individual stock, you have no idea where the stock's going to go. Cryptocurrencies, I mean, I'd probably be up 24/7 just looking at all these gyrations
going on. You'd be up 1,000,000% and then down, 700,000% in like a day.
Exactly.
Psychotic.
It's just too much, And we're not doing this, Jason, to, at the end of the day, I think all of us are getting into investing because we just want to be happy and live free lives, and you're not free putting $100,000 in cryptocurrencies and you're seeing 40% swings every two or 3 hours.
Yeah, you're going to be stressed. You know, I think people that speculate, don't call it investing because it's not investing, that speculate on cryptocurrencies or even, cyclical markets or anything, okay? There's sort of a little, and at the risk of offending people, okay, this is not like a slam. But look, we all do this, okay? Every human being on earth would love to get something for nothing, okay? So I'm not saying that I'm any different than anybody listening, okay? I'm just like you. You know, we're all human. We all have the same thinking about things and the same psychological makeup, basically. It's all the same. But, you know, it's kind of dishonest, right, to do something that's just totally speculative. It's sort of like waiting for your ship to come in rather than swimming out to it, right? There's not a legitimate capital creation that, you know, has a multiplier effect of creating wealth in the world. It's just gambling, okay? It's just total gambling. That's all it is. The other part of it is that you're going to have at some point, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, okay? Because one day, and I don't know when that day is going to be, you're going to lose a ton of money, okay? It's coming. It will happen. It already happened with Bitcoin, okay? People lost their shirt a couple of years ago. And now the bubble is much, much bigger. And the thing that, interestingly, nobody is talking about is how this whole thing becomes a super cumbersome disaster as it grows, because the electricity and the computational power to process a coin transaction or to mine a coin is unfathomable. It's fake work. It's environmental destruction. And look, if someone was actually using this in commerce, I would believe in it much more. Okay, yeah, I know. Overstock accepts it. Big deal. Naresh, you booked Patrick Byrne on the show. He's great. Love him. And I'd love to be wrong about all this stuff. I'd love to be wrong. I've said that a million times. But the whole thing starts caving in on itself at some point, because the weight of just processing a trade of me transferring a coin to you or vice versa takes like a week of energy that it would take to run a house for a week. That is totally unsustainable. Okay? It's nuts. It's nuts. And then to mine a coin, it takes even more. So this whole thing is just, it's craziness. It's absolute, folks, we are living through tulip bulb mania. And to a lesser degree, we're living through that in the stock market. To a lesser degree, we're living through that in the cyclical real estate markets, that, you know, the high-flying markets on the West Coast, in South Florida, in the expensive northeastern markets, expensive trophy markets around the world. We're living through that. In the linear markets, not so much. Those are the markets we like, obviously. So you bought your first two investment properties in Memphis, Naresh, and that's a very linear, boring market. Not part of Bubbleville. Not part of Bubbleville. You don't have irrational exuberance, do you, Naresh?
I used to. I suffered from that as soon as two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learned, maybe my brain's matured more, and I am fine with knowing exactly how much in cash flow I'm going to be making every month.
Yep.
And like you say, appreciation, I don't even think about it. There could be a real estate crash, and as long as my tenants in there paying the rent, I'm happy. I'm planning to hold long, long, long.
You're happy as a clam, and folks, clams are always smiling. So they're very happy. Okay, bad humor. I'm just not good at humor. Okay, I will not be taking up comedy anytime soon, folks. Let's talk about your recent trip to Colombia. There's an interesting piece of education here for people who, you know, we got to get onto the GOP tax plan too, but the cryptocurrency thing, Naresh. So, you know, you got all these people that believe that the dollar isn't backed by anything. I'm so sick of hearing that. Fiat money. Well, what do you think cryptocurrency is? It's total fiat. Just because it's not fiat by decree or authority of any government, it is decentralized. I love that about it. Okay. It's still fiat nonetheless, because it has no intrinsic value whatsoever. Now, the dollar has intrinsic value because it's got a long, long history, and it's got a huge, huge military behind it, and a huge brand called America behind it. The American brand is the world's biggest brand. It's bigger than Coca-Cola. It's bigger than anything. Nothing is bigger than the American brand. No brand has more value than the United States of America brand. And I'm not being some kind of patriot saying that. It's just the truth. It's reality, okay? May not be that way in 500 years. We will see. Maybe the Star Trek Federation will have the biggest brand by then. Today, the United States owns the world's biggest brand, and its currency is the dollar. That's the extension of the U.S. brand. So you just got back from Colombia. You were in where? Medellin, as they say, not Medellin. Medellin, I think, is the problem.
Medellin.
Tell us about it. So were there like beautiful women everywhere? Because I've never been to Medellin or Colombia at all. And my cousin married a Colombian girl. I've had a few friends that have like moved down there and lived down there, you know, single guys. And, you know, I don't know. tell us about how hot the girls were before we talk about the value of the dollar. Well, now, you're engaged, but I'm single. Naresh, so I need to know this.
I'll be quite frank. This is no bias here, but I was a bit disappointed in the local women. Disappointed meaning, kind of like you, I have several friends who moved out of the United States. They moved to Medellin, and they told me about how amazing it was. It was paradise, and you know, the women, how cheap it is, food,
And as long as you don't get kidnapped, you're pretty good. Kidnappings are down 72% in Colombia. Okay, go ahead.
And so I guess I might have gone in with high expectations, but I actually think that where I live in Florida, I found better looking women, especially near the, because I live near the water and the, you know, pretty much on a beach. I found the women here to be more attractive.
Well, I'm moving to Tampa now. Okay, and before, you know, everybody listening is going to think we're totally shallow and stupid here, so, or sexist, one or the other, because God forbid, everybody's a sexual criminal nowadays. But some really are sexual criminals, so I don't want to minimize that, okay? And we just had the election with good old Roy Moore, who lost. I guess he hasn't conceded yet, but that was yesterday, literally. So it looks like he was definitely punished for that. Maybe he is a bad guy. I don't know, really. You know, haven't followed the story much. So what happened to your friend in Colombia? There was a robbery, right? Colombia is known for this. What was available to the robbers and what was left? What didn't they take? What did they take? Tell us about that.
So this is quite interesting. As soon as we got to Colombia, we had tour guides, and you know, you brought up the crime and the safety issue. So we had tour guides who were essentially taking care of us, not necessarily our bodyguards. And so, there was one guy in our group who got robbed. He had his full, you know, he had electronics with him, he had his wallet, he had a lot of different things. But the only thing or the only item that was taken were U.S. dollars. And it wasn't even a lot of U.S. dollars. It was, you know, maybe $15, $20. Not even a $20 bill. It was like a 10 with a bunch of ones.
Okay, so a 10 and 5 ones was taken. So $15 U.S. is what they took. And what they had available to them was over 1,000 pesos, I think, and electronics.
Oh, more than that. It was more, probably more than 50,000 pesos.
Maybe how much? What's the conversion? I have no idea what the conversion is, by the way, on the peso.
You know, 50,000 would be about $16.50.
Okay, so they didn't take the pesos at all. They just took the dollars.
No electronics taken. No pesos taken. Really, nothing was. The only thing was U.S. dollars. So our tour guides. They warned us ahead of time, and they said the U.S. dollar holds a lot of value, not just in Medellin or in Colombia in general, but in South America as a whole. And they said it's even worse in Venezuela.
Even better, you should say, maybe not worse is not even the right word.
Yeah.
But Venezuela, oh my God, they'd love to have U.S. dollars, I'm sure, but they'd probably love to have guns and bullets more than anything. And, you know, food. What's happening in Venezuela is just absolutely tragic. It's completely disgusting. So, okay, Naresh, so that's an interesting story about the strength of the U.S. dollar. That is the lesson, the almighty dollar.
This interview is running a little bit long, so we're going to stop it right here. We'll pick up the rest of the interview on the next episode of the Creating Wealth Show.
Welcome to Meet the Masters of Income Property Investing. I'm your host, Jason Hartman.
Join us in beautiful La Jolla, California on January 12th through 15th. This is your chance to meet the masters of income property investing. Learn from an amazing collection of experts all in one room. You'll meet a ton of local market specialists, mortgage lenders, tax professionals, and investment specialists such as Jeff Myers of Myers Research and John Burns, real estate consultant. Learn from Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Advisors, Ken McElroy, his real estate investment expert, and Garrett Sutton, his attorney who specializes in asset protection. Find out what leading economists are predicting for 2018, including Danielle DiMartino Booth, founder of Money Strong LLC, and Andrew Zatlin from Moneyball Economics. Hear from leading entrepreneurs how to maximize your income streams. You'll learn unique financial strategies from Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life, and how to give birth to a brand from Brian Smith, founder of UGG Australia Brand. This year also features a very special guest, Dr. Ron Paul, former congressman, presidential candidate, and staunch advocate of liberty. Right now, you can upgrade your ticket to include VIP access and a dinner with Dr. Paul. Enjoy a fine dining experience and fascinating conversation. Seats are limited, so upgrade your ticket today. Ask questions and learn why real estate is the most historically proven asset class. Armed with new information, you'll have the confidence to take massive action. As the saying goes, don't wait to buy real estate and wait. Surround yourself with like-minded people and build friendships that will last a lifetime. Share strategies and tips with other investors and hear about their successes and struggles. Make 2018 the year you decide to achieve your dreams. Real estate is a proven way to create true wealth within your lifetime and achieve long-term financial independence. Don't wait. Join us in La Jolla. Reserve your seat today.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.